Welcome to an all-new Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. Chris Sheeran and Joe Auriemma give their opinions on the latest happenings surrounding Yankees baseball, as well as dive into the hottest topics in the sports world. And now, here are your hosts, Chris Sheeran and Joe Auriemma.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. We're taking the day off from Blog Talk Radio. Siberia, as everyone calls it on Twitter. It's me, it's Chris Sheeran, it's Joe Auriemma, and our special guest today is Sid Rosenberg, formerly of WFAN, now down in Florida at 640. What are the call letters down there, Sid?
First of all, do I sound okay, guys? I'm calling you from my cell phone, literally during my training, daily training session at Michael's Gym in Boca. Do I sound okay?
You sound like you're happy to be in Boca. You sound perfect. Thank you.
Well, that's not true. But anyway, the four letters of WMEN, and while you're right, I am no longer full-time on WFAN. Thank God, Chris, with friends like you up in New York and down here, just this week alone, I've had Steve Summers, Joe Beningo, and Evan Roberts on my radio show down here since the Revis trade and all that. I still maintain a pretty nice, loyal, and big fan base up in New York. So I like to say, instead of formerly of WFAN, still beloved in the hearts of New Yorkers, but now doing a rehab assignment in Miami, Boca, Sid Rosenberg.
That's a good way to put it, my friend. And you know what? I have to tell you, when people go on vacation, and when you come up, you and Melusis do a tremendous job. Now, I've said that on Twitter, but I've never actually told you that, so I wanted to tell you that.
Thank you. Now, you listen, attorney Mark Chernoff has given me the opportunity last couple of years to do stuff, like you said, with Melusis, who I happen to love dearly. You know, it was right there with him when he was growing up as a board op and a producer for Mike and the Mad Dog.
Right.
And, you know, Kim Jones and I have done a lot of good work together. Mm-hmm. And I've had opportunities the last couple of years to do that, to kind of stay in the mix. So I do appreciate you saying that.
Not a problem. And hopefully you get back up here full time soon, because you are excellent at what you do, Sid, and you are dearly missed. That is for sure. Thank you, man.
Thank you.
Not a problem. Let's start with our New York Rangers. Now, listen, the only thing they've been consistent with this year, Sid, and I'm sitting next to a Devils fan, by the way, who
can punch him in the face.
Punch him in the face. Who could actually knock the Rangers out of the playoffs with a win on Saturday if the Rangers lose to the Hurricanes tonight in Carolina. And you know, the way they've been playing, that could happen. They score 18 goals going into that Panther game. They play the worst team in the league. They manage one goal. They have had issues with the power play all season long. Their only consistency has been inconsistency. What's going on with the Rangers, Sid?
Well, let me paint a prettier picture. You unfortunately painted an ugly picture, which is accurate. Even with the Panther loss, let's not forget, they are 7-3-1 over the last 11. And for whatever it's worth, as bad as the Panthers are, their young goaltender, Jacob Markstrom, who's also from Sweden, mind you.
Yeah, he's got the Rangers number. He does.
He's got him. He's got, like you said, Chris, you know, 38 saves the other night. There were some really, really good saves, too. And, you know, it's funny because he grew up and he's in love with Henrik Lundqvist. They're both from Sweden, obviously, and that's kind of his hero. And he seems to outplay the student, sometimes outplay the teacher. But even with the lousy power play, like I talked about, you know, they've been pretty solid. They've been real good since the Gabbert trade. And I'll tell you what, this kid Zuccarello, he reminds me of a little Mark Pavlich. It's just a gnat out there. And he made a lot happen in that Panther game. In fact, the only goal the Rangers got, the tie-up goal, was all because of Zuccarello's work. So there are some things to make yourself sick about. But the truth is, over the last 11 or 12 hockey games, outside the Islanders and Pittsburgh, there's no hotter team inside the Eastern Conference. And look, they got a decent deal here, because even with a loss tonight against Carolina, the Saturday game against the Devils may still mean nothing if the Canadians beat the Rangers. Yeah, they got two opportunities to get in tonight without worrying about the doubles game, because like you, even though we just beat New Jersey at the Garden 4-1 on Sunday, if it comes down to Saturday, my dear friend Kevin Canessa, who was the webmaster for my website, SidRosenbergShow.com, and Joe Auriemma, sitting right next to you, my fear is those are those horrible people that wish will come true on Saturday.
Right, and you know, I have to bring this up. This was before the Gabrick trade that I talked to Tom Laidlaw, former defenseman for the New York Rangers.
Good guy, and tremendous. Very active on Facebook too.
And I tell you right now, I would not want to be pressed up against the boards with Tommy bearing down at me, going 30 miles an hour right now, because he is gigantic. He works out at my gym, and that guy, I mean, he's just unbelievable. He's in great shape. He's probably in better shape now than he was when he was a player. Just don't tell him I said that. He told me, and he made a great point, Sid. He said when the Rangers basically didn't bring Ruslan Fedotenko back, when they let Prust go up to the Canadians, and when they traded Dubinsky over to the Blue Jackets, they lost a lot of character guys.
Yeah,
and that was one of the problems that the Rangers had this year. Now, they brought in these guys from the Blue Jackets, and so far, I mean, especially Brassard, that kid is really impressing me. He's a former first-round draft pick, and so far he's been playing very well, especially on the power play.
No, he has, and he scored that last goal against the Panthers. Look, you know, Steve Summers and I had the same conversation a couple of days ago. Chris, you nailed it again, you and Laidlaw. They did miss that toughness, that grit. You mentioned three players, and don't forget about Anisimov, who had some huge moments for the Rangers last year.
Yeah, Artem Anisimov, absolutely.
Right. So, four, you know, you got four guys right there that added character, added grit, and quite frankly, added goals that are gone. And I think the Rangers really did miss those guys. But, again, since the trade with Columbus, guys we're talking about like Brassard and others, I think they've replaced that grit, that toughness. And I don't want to use this Panther game as too much of a barometer because, again, before that game, they only lost twice in 10 games. We tend to think about the last thing we saw, which was really ugly out of the Rangers. But do I think they're going to win the Cup? No. Are they as good as Pittsburgh? No. Are they as good as Washington? Washington on fire right now. They just won the Southeast. No. Are they as good as Boston? No. But I'll say this. Unlike the Knicks, with the Miami Heat inside the same conference, as well as Carmelo was playing and the Knicks are playing, and they got a chance to go 3-0 in Boston tomorrow night, you know that somewhere down the road, they're going to meet up with the Heat, and they're not going to beat the Heat. The Rangers, even though I think Pittsburgh is better, Washington may be better, Boston may be better, you get the Rangers in, you get a hot Lundqvist, and you get some of these guys playing well, and who knows? So, I would just say, you know, good luck.
Joey's over here shaking his head. I just wanted to throw that out there, that Joey's sitting here shaking his head and rolling his eyes. And you'll get to talk to him in a second. But I have one more for you before I hand it off to my partner here. And that is, you brought up the King. So let me talk about Lundqvist. And Joey can't stand when I call him the King because he hasn't won anything yet. But that's...
Well, listen, for this season specifically, he's been more like the Queen. I can't argue that.
Well, that was my next question. He does let in some goals that make you raise your eyebrows and throw your hands up in the air. But true or false, Sid, I think he takes a lot of flack, you know, whether it be on social media or on local role, not local radio here. No one really talks about hockey besides Joe and Steve Summers. But
Boomer Esiason.
And Boomer. I have to. And Craig. And your former sports guy buddy, Craig Carton, which I listen to, by the way, every day in my car on my way to work at MSNBC.
Oh, my God. And you're the only guy that would ever miss that in public.
No. Here. You want to know? You want me to give you something really quick? When the radio chick came into your studio and she started going, Sidney Lowe! Chucky Lowe, Butchie Lowe.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
My God, you were listening. I
was listening. I enjoyed it. I thought it was a great show. But anyway, do you think Lundqvist takes a lot of unnecessary flack? I know he lets in some weak ones, but if it wasn't for that guy between the pipes, the Rangers would be getting blown out in some
games. No question. Look, it's the nature of the beast. First of all, he's in New York, okay? If he's playing like he does in Winnipeg, all he does is get louder with superlatives. If he plays like that in Buffalo, he's Dominic Hasek. But when you're playing in New York, okay, first of all, the spotlight's on you. Second of all, some of it is his fault because he is so damn good. You're expected to win and win big series and win Stanley Cups. And look, the last round of the playoffs last year against New Jersey, he was not very good. You know, you can make the argument he was terrific in the first two rounds, but he wasn't very good against New Jersey. Got off to a real bad start this year. Part of that is his fault. You know, he's kind of raised expectations because he is so good. And Ranger fans like us are so thirsty for a cup. It's been won in about 60 years. So the highlight of my career was being on the corner of Fulton and Broadway at 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm sorry, Joe, not Moonachi, New Jersey. But, you know, Fulton and Broadway in the dark at 5 o'clock in the morning waiting for Messier and Leach and Richter and Bukaboom and Larmer and Tikkanen to go down the Canyon of Heroes. We want it back so badly, and we know how good he is. But I think it is unfair. I think the expectations on him are probably too much. But, you know, he was not great against the Devils in the playoffs last year. This was not his best season. But if you go into the Stanley Cup playoffs at Lundqvist, you're in pretty good shape.
Hey, Sid, it's Joe Uriem here. How are you, buddy?
Joe, I'm good because your team is not going to be playing.
No, my team is not going to be playing.
No,
that is correct.
No,
and you know what?
No.
I kill Chris every once in a while. I call, you know, Henrik Lundqvist the Queen. But bottom line is the guy is a hell of a goalie. And, you know, Pittsburgh, they're going to win the series if they do play the Rangers. They're the best team maybe in all of, you know, hockey this year. But look, if anybody's going to give him a little bit of a scare in that first round, it's, as you said, Henrik Lundqvist and the New York Rangers, because they are probably one of the better eight seeds, other than the Kings last year and some teams in previous years. They're one of the better eight seeds that's going to make the NHL playoffs in a long time.
Yeah, no, listen, I agree with you. And part of that, as you know, Joe, and certainly your team winning four Stanley Cups, and we talk about Lundqvist, heck, I mean, Christ, Bordeaux's won, what, three? So, yeah. Four, whatever. So, look, I think you're right, and I think part of that is, A, the talent at goaltender. I think there is a lot of talent on the team as well, and the experience. Right? I mean, how many teams literally going to the NHL Stanley Cup Finals as an eight seed, but the amount of playoff experience the Rangers have had the last couple of years at Lundqvist, they've been there with Torrelli here. So,
absolutely.
I think when you combine him and some of their other players, and the experience, I think you're right. I think the Rangers are a very dangerous low seed, but I also think you're right. They're not going to beat Pittsburgh. But if there's a team, it's kind of like the Knicks and the Heat, right?
Right.
No one's beating Miami, nobody. But if any team could make them sweat, I think it's
absolutely.
The Knicks. And I think the Rangers are kind of in that same role.
Absolutely. And, you know, I kind of take offense to it. You don't like the little parade around the Izod Center?
Listen, I actually went to one, Joe. That's where the Devils won. I'm a Giant fan, too. And, you know, we won a Super Bowl, and a bunch of us ended up at Manny's in Monachi.
Oh,
and then there was
yeah.
like this. There's this parade in New Jersey, and I mean, the Giants do get to the Canyon of Heroes because they're the New York Giants, but I always get a kick out of it. Like I said a couple of days ago, you know, the Devils, they have the nice little parade. Where is it, by Rawley? Is that where it was?
Yeah, by
Rawley. You know, the Islanders have six people standing outside an old country road yelling and screaming wearing their Mike Bossy jerseys, and we get 2 million at the Canyon of Heroes. So doesn't make it a better hockey team, but we know where the hordes lie in the tri-state area, and that's what the red, white, and blue at Madison Square Garden.
All I know is when you went to Manny's, did you have a Bill Parcells, Mike Francesa
you
fight over the
you
chicken parm or the chicken marsala?
The chicken parm.
I got like the chicken palm. I like the chicken masala. Hey, Manny.
Oh, boy.
All right. Well, look, we're going to talk a little basketball right now because, honestly, you hit it on the head. There's nobody that's going to beat the Miami Heat. You're down in Florida. You know, you have the pulse of all the Heat fans down there, knowing that this team is probably going to go back-to-back. Really nobody better in the NBA. But, look. The New York Knickerbockers are having an all-time season right now for Knicks fans that didn't see those championship years.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure.
And Carmelo Anthony is just having an all-time year. J.R. Smith has been just tremendous. And really, they are on a collision course to play each other in those Eastern Conference Finals.
I would think so, John. I would think anything else would be very disappointing for Knicks fans. Look, they're halfway through beating Boston. They're probably going to take on Indiana in the next round. Mm-hmm. Indiana's going to, you know, make their way through Atlanta. And they're better than Indiana. That's the fact. You know, maybe if Danny Granger is back and he's healthy and the athletic Paul George and that team, it's a different story. But right now, the Knicks are better. So I think the Knicks fan expects them to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. Anything less is a disappointment. And when they get there, they need to be competitive. I don't think Knicks fans are going to be happy if they beat Boston, beat Indiana, and then get whitewashed
right.
by Miami in four games. You know, they lose in six, you can deal with that. But I think Knicks fans are realistic, and Miami is the best team. And they're looking at going back to their third consecutive NBA Finals. And like you said, going back-to-back here. And the only reason why the Knicks will be even in that series is Carmelo, you know. And LeBron is the best player in the world. He deserves
yes.
the MVP every single year. The fact that we talk about anybody else, whether it's Carmelo, Kevin Durant, Tony Parker, Kobe Bryant, is a joke. But if the one guy that keeps the Knickerbockers competitive in any series, including Miami, is number seven, whose game this year has really changed. He went from a guy that was a chucker, quite frankly, a scorer, a selfish basketball player, to this year where he does make the occasional big pass. He defends. He's had double-digit rebound games this year. He's a much better all-around player. And you can make the argument right now that outside of LeBron, he's right there with Kevin Durant as the second or third best player in the game.
Well, not a doubt in my mind. This guy has completely turned his career around. And, you know, doing it in New York where, you know, this is his home, it's just.
But you know what's weird about what you just said, Joe? It's his home, but yet it's amazing. You know, we brought up Mark Malusis, Chris and I, before, and he's just one of the many up there that break this guy's balls every single
day. Every day.
I mean, all I hear about the guy never won. He went to the playoffs at Denver and the Knicks. He can't win a playoff game. He's not clutching. And I constantly remind these guys, he never played on a team in Denver and or New York that was all that good. That was, you know, I mean, what do you, yes, look, should they have lost to Utah when he was a Nugget as a one? No, they never should have lost that series. But then he didn't play well in that series, and he hasn't played well his whole playoff career.
Right.
But to say that Carmelo can't win when he played on marginally talented New York and Denver teams, to me, is ridiculous.
It's total BS. And you know what? This guy has lifted this Knicks team, especially when they've gone through those midseason swoons. He's lifted this team to, you know, be the 54-win team that they are this year. I mean,
no doubt.
Again, J.R. Smith having a great year. But look, they've had injury after injury after injury. They're old. The roster is old. And Carmelo is truly the bright spot. And like you said, top three player in the NBA.
Yeah.
And,
yep.
You know, for Knicks fans out there, you know, looking at this possible playoff run, going to the, possibly a collision course with LeBron James, how does it make the Knicks fan feel? I'm a Knicks fan. That when the Knicks are good once again, you know, they had Jordan in the 90s, and now they got LeBron James here, you know, in the 2000s over here, that they have to compete within the Eastern Conference. I mean, that's just heartbreaking for Knicks fans.
No, you're right. It is tough. You know, we had Patrick Ewing all those years, and we had two shots at it. Of course, no surprise that both times Michael wasn't on the Bulls.
Right.
94 against the Rockets. And you know, and as great as Patrick was, and he's maybe my second or third all-time, Nick Bernard King is still my favorite. But I'm too young to really talk about Frazier and Reed like you guys, the Bush and Bradley. But the fact is, he was not better than Olajuwon. Hakeem was better.
No,
and the Rockets beat the Knicks in 94. And 99, he was an old crippled man. And even though Sprewell and Canby and those guys turned out to be good deals, you weren't going to beat a team that had a very, very solid veteran in David Robinson and a budding superstar in a young Tim Duncan.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, we had to go through that with Patrick, and now we're going through this with LeBron James. And, you know, the Knicks fans will tell you, listen, Frazier and Reed and those guys found a way to win championships when Will Chamberlain was out there.
Right.
When, you know, when a young Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, barely not Ruel Cinder, was out there. So, they're not going to want to hear that about the era, about the great player.
That's true.
You have to find a way to get it done. But you're right. You can't argue. Jordan and LeBron, very tough on the Knicks.
Really? And I know you're a Giant fan, as am I. Looking at this draft tonight, you know, the Giants have the 19th pick in the draft. The Jets are really the story with 9-13 tonight. What are you thinking the Jets are going to have to do? What do you think the Giants' needs are? Where are you liking where Jerry Reese is going to go tonight and Itzik's going to go tonight?
Yeah, I actually had a couple of good conversations today on my radio show down here. I brought on both Paul Schwartz, who covers the Giants for the Post, and Brian Costello, who covers the Jets for the Post. Look, the Giants need linebackers, guys, okay? They got no linebackers, so... do they take a chance on this kid Ogletree, who's got a longer rap sheet than I do? I don't know. They got a couple of guys in the second round. The kid from Connecticut's a nice linebacker. I think the Giants will look linebacker. I think the Giants will absolutely look offensive line. I know when Mike Mayock's online draft today, he's got the Giants taking Justin Pugh, the offensive lineman, at number 19. But I would say defense comes first, linebacker. I think at some point, even though they signed Cullen Jenkins in the offseason, they did lose Chris Canty. I think defensive tackle is
absolutely
a very realistic spot.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to go linebacker, offensive line, defensive tackle, and safety. You know, the secondary is a mess. So the good news for the Giants is they don't need skilled players. You know, you're pretty good at quarterback. You got your running back, you drafted Wilson in the first round last year. Your wide receivers are solid. So for the Giants, it's going to be offensive and defensive lines, linebacker, and safety. For the Jets, you know, look, they need everything. So, you know, at number nine, Mingo is there, maybe. They also need some help at linebacker. They need a pass rusher in the worst way. Maybe the kid Deion Jordan, if he's still there, though I doubt it, he'd be a good pick at number nine. And the one that's kind of interesting, guys, is 13,
mm-hmm.
because I think a lot of the good defensive players will be gone. T. Milner will be gone. The linebackers will be gone. And now you start to say with the Jets, who just can't score. And, you know, Santonio Holmes is going to be done after this year as a Jet. Hill, the Georgia Tech wide receiver in his second season, is still a huge question mark. Maybe the Jets start to think about a guy like Tavon Austin. I know it's early.
Right.
I know it is. But if the guy does everything well, he returns punts, he returns kicks, he could be a dangerous wide receiver. Or being that Dustin Keller came down here to the Dolphins, if Tyler Eifert is still there, the tight end of Notre Dame,
Yeah. Maybe
you go that direction. So I think the Jets go defense with 9 and probably defense with 13 unless – they go wide receiver or tight end.
Now, what about this kid, Tyrann Mathieu? I mean, I know he's had his issues off the field. God knows he's had his issues off the field. And he just sent out a tweet about a party or something, and that raised
right.
some eyebrows
yeah.
as well. But Yeah. The kid is an electric football player. And I was just thinking about this right before we called you up for this podcast, Sid. And here's my thing. If you're looking to win football games, wouldn't you rather roll the dice on a player that you know has ability – rather than try your luck on a boom or bust you know, you roll the dice on you know, stuff off the field, but I would rather do that when I know a player could play on the field rather than take a chance on a guy who I don't really know too much about. Maybe
gotta be careful. I think it's a fair question. And I don't really have, look, I'm not a GM, okay, guys? I don't play one on the air.
Right,
my
friend, right.
But I will tell you this. I think it depends on the situation. If you're the Dallas Cowboys, okay, and you're winning Super Bowls, and you've already got Irvin and 2-A and Leon Lett and all these maniacs, and you want to bring a guy that maybe not be, you know, that's a different story. But if you're the Jets and you're John Idzik and it's your first job as a GM in the National Football League, if you're Rex Ryan and you've got 1.5 feet, which you happen to love, out the door, a team like that in that type of setting with the whole Sanchez-Tebow mess from a year ago, they're going to be very, very careful. You know, if you're a team that's got a proven track record of success and a coach, by the way, that's done it, you know, Jimmy Johnson was very good with guys like that. Then, or even Bill Parcells, for that matter, he wasn't afraid to do stuff like that, whether it's a Quincy Carter or Lawrence Taylor. You may be willing to take that risk. I think it depends upon the team, where they are, the culture of the organization. And I think the Jets right now are an open wound. They've got to be very careful.
No, that's a tremendous point. I wasn't really necessarily asking if the Jets should take him. But do you think this kid is going to fall as far as like the third round maybe?
Yes, I think he will fall. And you know what? I'll say this. If Dan Marino, and I know it's a completely different era, guys. I get it. But I feel like it just happened, especially watching that terrific 30-30 piece. Dan Marino could be the sixth quarterback taken, if Randy Moss can last as long as he did, then I'm pretty sure that you know, there's no guarantees.
All right, Sid, thanks a lot for coming on today. We really appreciate it. We covered a lot, and I know you got to get back to your workout, but I really want to have you back on the show. Joe and I really had a lot of fun with you today.
I will come on whenever you want, Chris. I'm a fan of yours from your work on the YES Network, besides the fact you're a really, really nice kid, but I really am a fan of your work at the YES Network, and it's nice to meet you too, Joe, and anytime you guys want me, please feel free to call. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, thanks, Sid. That was great, man. We're just having a great time with you, and again, we'd love to have you back on. You know, as soon as you get back up here, maybe we'll do a little Manny's dinner.
Anytime you want. In fact, I'll be up there, guys, for the doing my show from Miami for the Met-Yankee series, the Monday after Memorial Day. They play two in the Bronx and the next two at City. I'll be up there covering all four games for my station down here because we carry every pitch, every game. We've got Sterling and Waldman. So I'll see you guys the end of May, and we'll do that.
All right, let's do that, buddy. Let's make it a date. All right, thanks, Sid. We really appreciate it. You continue to all your success down there. We hope you get back up here very soon.
The Off the Wall podcast comes to you each week on iTunes and YesNetwork.com. If you like what you're listening to, simply subscribe to the show on iTunes. And if you have an extra minute, leave a comment and rating.